Messiah's coming, a stone that makes men stumble, and a rock that makes them fall. Sign of the one who would surely come. When he heard what the thunder now was saying, it was clear this must be the chosen one. The deaf will hear, and the dumb will talk. The blind will see, and the lame will walk. The stone that makes men stumble, and that makes them fall. Thank you. with the light of the Father in his face. Son of God he had been since the beginning. Now as Son of Man, Jesus took his place. A stone that makes men stumble and a rock that makes them fall.
I can live up to that. We hope first that we can give glory to God. Wow, what a song. That was really beautiful. Beautiful. We heard some beautiful songs in the Philippines. They didn't come from the lips of Frank, however. Nor mine. We'll talk about that later. In the Philippines, like some of the other languages that I've become a little bit accustomed with, if you see these languages written, unlike English, the vowels, each vowel generally has a special sound, and it usually makes up its own syllable or it's included with another vowel. So if you see those words written or you hear us say them, and their spelling looks kind of funny, like they have too many vowels, but they each have a sound. Like maybe you read in some of the emails the word maayon, hapon, satanam, which means good afternoon, everyone, or maayon, gabi'i, good evening, Satanan. I remember one time someone was telling me they thought they didn't like the Spanish language because they looked on the Bible and they thought that it was an evil book, you know, because it was written in Spanish and it said Santa on it. And they thought that had something to do with Satan, but it has nothing to do with Satan, of course. And so don't try and equate any of these words you see with any English words because they really, most of them don't correspond. Like Satanan, it's spelled a little bit like another word, but it means everyone, Satanam. And I truly am grateful to be here. My year has been one I will never forget, and I truly am grateful to God for the wonderful privilege which I've had. And I know it was a tremendous gift God gave to me, be able to travel that far away and go through the things we went through. I want to try and relate to you a little bit of a report. I want to begin with a scripture. And this scripture came to me, and I shared it with you the other evening, but I want to read it again. This is found in the book of Ephesians, chapter 6, verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. I begin with that. You know, when I was over there in the Philippines and that particular experience that I had, when I felt and I had the sensation and the wanting to run, I just was scared, afraid of so many things that are going on. And it's a natural sensation, you know, to feel fear of things that are new and things that are hard, and to stand in front of somebody and then all of a sudden you have got to try and explain the Church of Christ and you got 2 hours. And it's just a frightening experience. But God was with us. And I had those sensations, you know, I don't think I would have run, but I had those sensations. I wanted to run. I just wanted to run. And I heard that still small voice telling me, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. And I had to start thinking about that, you know, and then there wasn't too long after that, very soon after that, that there was a sister that we had met. She didn't become a member, but she passed away from some terrible affliction. We went to go see her. Had a very gentle spirit, this woman, but she passed away. And so I was called upon to preach at a sermon at a funeral service. And I kept that verse, kept coming back to me. I kept thinking and looking at it. And they, of course. You know, what does that really mean? Sometimes you might read that and say, well, it means I'm going to get real powerful. But that's not really what it means when you look at this. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. And what is the absolutely most important thing that Jesus did that demonstrated His power and His might? He rose from the dead. And if you take it from that foundation, and then you extend this scripture on with that in mind, that's the beginning. Be strong in the Lord. Your hope. And you keep reading on down, and you find all the tools, and it makes even more sense. Faith. The Word of God. The helmet of salvation. Be strong in the Lord. And that is my message for this evening. But I'm going to continue on talking about it. Be strong in the Lord. Well, we're going to ask our brother Frank if he would show that. Pull it down there and see if we can get the top one in the view. I think you can just slide. There you go. Slide it down. There you go. This was our first baptismal service. And you see, you'll notice here as we go along, you see Brother Prudencio back there. He's got a big smile on his face. And some of these people do, and some of them don't. And I began to notice a trend. Some of the people that don't smile and look away from the camera are from the hills. And the ones that are from the city look at the camera. And you find that's very consistent. A cultural difference between the people from the hills and the people from the city. You find that to be true often. But you see Prudencio back there. One thing about him and Brother Demetrio and about half the people in our church is they never saw a picture they didn't want to be in. And so it's a little bit, you know, every time there's a picture, you'll see them, somebody's raising their arms and they're smiling and they're photogenic. They're ready to take a picture. And so it's really quite pleasant. You can always get a good picture, usually wherever you're at. Now, this was a very important day for me. It was the first baptism we had, and I got to visit with these people on a very personal basis. And I got to know some of them quite well in a short period of time and asking them questions. And they responded and they shared with me their feelings and their thoughts. And I was quite relieved. You know, sometimes you may wonder, what's all these baptisms? Are you sure you know what you're doing? And sometimes we have wondered, you know, and we grill them and we try to find out, are you sure you know what you're doing? We go over and over and over again and tell them, you know what this means. But they tell us their testimonies, and then we're convinced. And they visited with us and told me of their conviction and their belief, and I was assured that they were ready. So we baptized them, and the special group, there's a young lady right in the middle there, in the back row sitting down. Her name is Alma. We'll talk about her a little bit later, right there. We'll show that next picture there. Well, this next picture you can see, this is another group. And they were baptized. After they were baptized, they posed for a picture, and they're quite willing to do that. And you'll notice there's a large Filipino in the back. That's Brother Charles Brantner. So anytime you'll notice there in many of these pictures, there's a large Filipino in it. It's Brother Charles. Well, you see Prudencio's over there. He's waving again. You know, he's always ready for a picture. And Frank's awful over there in the water. And there's a guy just about exactly in the middle of that picture. And he's got long hair. And he's very quiet. And he sang a song for us once, and he sings like an angel, really. He sounds really beautiful. And he made up a song, and he sang it. And they told me a little bit about what it was. But He took his shirt off for the baptism. And we happened to notice something. We can tell this guy has had some kind of a rough life. He's got wounds or scars all over him. They're not in any kind of a pattern. So it's probably, I don't know. I'm curious to know. But he has the demeanor of someone who has been through a rough time. I imagine, from what I know about the Philippines, it probably has something to do with war, but I'm not sure. It'd be nice sometime to sit down and visit with him. But he sings like an angel, and he sang in his native tongue, and it sounded to me very Hawaiian in its native lyrical tones, but it was beautiful about his conversion and how he came to learn about Jesus Christ. It was very beautiful. Well, one of the first things that we're hearing these things, these questions, and I have to admit I've asked them myself. And you look at this, and you have to wonder, you know, are they going to outnumber us? How many of you asked that question? You know, well, what's going on here? Are they going to, like they say in Mexico, fuera votalos, they're going to outvote us? And that's the question. Some of you, I am sure, have asked that question to yourself or talked among yourselves. And so I'd like to tell you what I believe that the Holy Spirit has let me know. I don't think so. You have a very special position in this church. You have been, this church has been for numerous years now, the guardians of the truth. I heard one of our brothers talk about you have the truth. And the more I see, the more experiences, when I go out into places like the Philippines and the more I come in contact with other churches, and I won't mention any of them in particular, I am becoming more and more and more and more convinced of it. This group sitting in this room are the guardians of the truth. And they depend on you. They depend on you for the truth. You're also the guardians of the storehouse. In reality, that puts you in total control at this time. So what we would like to ask you to do, every one of the missionaries, is that every choice you make, everything that you do from now on, that you think about these people, that you think in terms of how will this affect these people in the Philippines, how will it affect the people in Kisi, how will it affect the people in Honduras and Mexico, and that foreign country down there in Phoenix, but how will it affect all these places in the world? How will it affect them? And we would like to tell you and answer a question. You know, what is it that the church in the United States can do for the church in the Philippines? And it's quite simple. And I want to tell you this. It's back, going back to my message. Be strong. Be strong. You know, when I'm thinking about this strength, I can't help but think about David. I always think about David and strength and courage. That young man had great strength and courage when he faced Goliath. And I want to talk about that some more. There are some definite Goliaths, and there are more Goliaths today than there. And we are facing them, and we're going to continue to face them in this world. And they, make no mistake, they want to kill you literally and spiritually. They want to destroy us. There's no question about it. They want to do that. But I have to think about this David, you know, when he went out there and he looked across that valley and he saw that giant making fun of the armies of Israel. And he had to make a choice. He made a choice. I realized that courage and being strong sometimes It's not a matter of feeling no fear. It's a matter of making a choice between two things. What am I going to do? Am I going to do the thing that I'm afraid to do, but I know it's more important? That's really, most of the time, there are probably three different ways of having courage. One of them is, you know, you see your kid run out in the street and you run after him. You don't even think what you're doing. You're going to get that kid and save that kid, and you're going to do it. And when it's all over, you wonder how you did it and why you weren't killed yourself. And that's one kind of courage that happens. Another one is, occasionally, we have these circumstances and trials in our life, and the Lord blesses you and you feel no fear. But I think there are times when it's a choice. You simply make the decision to face the giant. And, of course, he didn't just jump right into it. There was quite a story there, wasn't it? He had challenged, he said, why aren't we doing something about this guy? And they brought him in to talk to the king, and so there was a lot of time that passed. He had a lot of time to think about it, what he was going to do. It was a choice that he made. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. If you want to help the church there, you be godly. Be content. Be moderate. Let people in this world see your moderation. Can't tell you how important it is when we're out there in the Philippines to tell people. One of the things that I started saying on this last trip was, they were thinking, you know, well, since we're a small church, it's just kind of one of these fly-by-night outfits, some of them, you know. I said, wait a minute. This church is 170 years old. We have been around a long time, and we have been establishing and being established and firming ourselves up. We are not a fly-by-night outfit. We have established what we believe, and it took a long time to work it out. We are not going to change. We are not going to change. And that's the thing. It's so important. And you know what? It shut them up. They quit asking and thinking, well, you know, are you sure about that? Have you really done? Yes. We have already worked through this. For 170 years we've been working through this, and we are sure about this. Now, I hope that you will realize that we are not some fly-by-night organization. Don't be led by your emotions. Have integrity. Don't be always looking for some shortcut around the rules. Be honorable. Be at peace. Be a light. Be a witness. Preach the gospel. One of the most important things is, this church in the United States has got to grow. You have got to grow. As we extend ourselves out into the world, we're going to reach a place where that's it. We can't go anymore. You have got to grow. You have got to be talking to your neighbors and witnessing to people that are around you and praying that God will bring those honest and hard people to you. You have got to grow. And I believe God will cause us to grow. I'd like to have the second photo. Well, here's another one of those photogenic moments. We went up into this village. This is one of the places they didn't want us to go when we first went there, but they took us up there this time, and you see that the large Filipino is sitting down there, and he's surrounded by people. And they're kind of protecting him, watching over him. And see the two guys in the back without shirts on? We waved at them, and they didn't even smile. But these people, of course, they help us out. And we had to go to that little white box up in the back there. That's the town hall. We had to go sign in there. We never have quite figured out what that's all about. But we signed in, and then we signed out of this town. And so they were there. And this lady in the red stripe there, she's the one that made sure we did it, that we would do that so there would be no trouble. I have no idea what the trouble was. We need to find out, I suppose. Maybe we don't want to know. But anyway, there we are. We had walked quite a distance to get up there, gotten kind of hot and tired and sweaty. And so Charles is sitting down, recuperating. And we're taking a Kodak moment. You see, let's go to the next picture there. Well, shortly after that, we took another journey up the hill that's still in this town. We went around the corner and we got up there, and it was kind of hot and took us a little while to get there. And anyway, that's our church. That's what it looks like. And so we're reaching out to the poor people of the world. And Frank gave them some money to build a little chapel. Probably be kind of a bamboo thatched hut. Probably able to withstand hurricanes. But very picturesque. I'm interested. I'll be hopeful to see the pictures when he gets back again. But then you see in the back there, there's a young man. He's got his fingers out like this, you know. He's just ready to take a picture. And he's 18 years old. And there's a guy next to him on his right side. And he's got his up too. Well, that's Demetrio. He's about 63 years old, and he thinks he's 18 years old. And then there's Prudencio. He's got his hand up in the back over there. He's always ready for a photo. And then you see some young people down there and some older people. And so maybe, you know, young people are also wondering what they can do for those people over there. And really it's the same message. Be strong. That little girl, see the woman in the red stripe, and then there's one with a hat to her right, and then another one on her right. They're about 14, 15 years old. And they act like 14 or 15 year old, except there's a maturity in them also, a maturity that you can see. I thought about this a long time, and I've considered it, you know, and Brother Roland Surratt, he mentioned how that he felt like we had been prepared, that there were people that had been called, and because God had prepared them for this day in history. And as I look and see Brian and Buzz taking off, you know, in Africa, I think it's probably true. Prepared for the moment, prepared to do what needs to be done in that particular time. And I want to put forth another idea that these young people, some of them have been prepared to do this work. And I think that you have been. Maybe you don't even know it. You have talents and understandings that our forefathers did not have. Now, I don't know what it is, and I want to be as gentle as I possibly can, but people from from their 60s and higher, for some reason, I don't know what it is, but if there's a person of another race in the room, they can't help but mention it. Now, maybe that's, you know, no big deal. But I'll bet there's a lot of these kids that wouldn't say anything because they come from a different generation. And so maybe with all of their, you know, we think they're going downhill, maybe they have been prepared for this moment in history. Just maybe. That's exactly what's happened. And they can go in this in the world and go among people like this and not give it a second thought. Some of them are quite free of prejudices. But you've got to let the Lord know that you're willing to be done with the lesser things in life. I'll go to photo number three. Here we are. This is the time when we took off. We left that little church and we went back by a different way. And I'm not sure why we went back the different way. I think it was because it was mostly downhill. And then it may have been because we didn't want to develop a pattern, too. I really don't know, you know, so that someone would wait along the way. I don't know. I had my suspicions. But, of course, it was very beautiful, very tropical, very humid. And you can see the girls and the kids down there. As soon as they saw me with my camera, boy, they're ready for another picture, you know. And just happy, having a great time, having a wonderful time. Well, there's a kind of a narrow path we're going down there, and it's kind of hard to get off the trail. And I suppose I told Frank and Charles that I was going to be kind. There was a couple of photos I really wanted to print, but I thought I better not. But it's not that easy getting up there. That's another thing you can do if you want to help and you're thinking about the future. Be ready. Be ready for what you need to be doing. Be ready to walk up a hill. Be ready to do this work. Are you ready to do it? Emotionally? Are you ready to do it? Even physically, it's something to consider. Always something to consider. I know Frank and Charles were giving it a lot of consideration that day. It's a very important thing to be ready. But that brings me to this idea that Americans have a problem. Now, I know you don't. You don't have this problem, do you? Americans have a problem. They want it their way. They want to have everything their way. If it bothers them, they want it fixed, whatever it is. If they feel bad about it, they've got to take care of it. Got to fix that, no matter what it is. Well, here's the people that feel bad about a lot of things, and they can't do anything about it. And so, Americans are spoiled. Now, I know you're not. You're not like that, are you? You're not like that. You don't have to have it your way. If something bothers you, you can let it die. You can let it go. One of the things we like to do sometimes when we go into one of these foreign countries, it's natural for an American. I'm not saying for a Christian, but for an American, is to go into one of these places and to want to change everything, to Americanize. We believe that what we have is the gospel. You know, what the way we are is the gospel. And I'm convinced, after looking at these particular situations, I'm convinced that if the father of the Israelites, Abraham or Isaac or Jacob, if we could be transported in time back there, or we could see them today, you would want to change their life. I am absolutely convinced of it. To make sure they had a car, to make sure that they had a toilet, to make sure all these things. And he probably would have been considered to be a wealthy man in his day. We want to bring what we are, what we have to them. And that's not necessarily the best thing to do. Something to think about. But sometimes we just can't stand it. We just can't stand it. We've got to let it go sometimes. You've got to be able to don't make yourself, young people, don't make yourself unavailable to the Lord simply because you're too busy with your own personal mission and writing your own personal agenda. You know, that'd be so easy for me to do. Absolutely, the most easiest thing in the world. Or maybe spending the rest of your life trying to make the world a better place for Jay to live in. You know, make it so whatever it was okay, you know. It would be very easy for me to live that way. Whether it would be in my home with my temporal possessions or in the church, make it so I'm more comfortable with everything that's going on. It's really an American problem. Don't kid yourself. It really is. So when we're dealing with things here in America, just think about that. Is it an American problem or is it essential? Again, it would certainly be easy to do. I believe our primary purpose is to save souls, to get these people ready, if you will, someday inhabit the New Jerusalem or someday be a part of a movement that maybe we're seeing it begin, a marvelous movement in the world. Well, slide up again. Let's see what's in the bottom. I've already forgotten what it is. Oh, yeah. There's the large Filipino again. so we thought we had to get the rookie involved in this. We told him we were going to take turns doing all this stuff, and he was going to have to do his part, asking questions of the and teaching some lessons about baptism and finding out whether they're ready to be baptized. And he kind of looked at us kind of funny. He said, "That's right. You're just going to sit right in the line. You're going to take your turn." So there he is. He's got his turn there. See the guy in the background? There's an old man standing on the bank in the background. There's kind of a, looks like leaves over the top of his head and behind him. Well, they made their own umbrella, and he just cut a leaf out of the woods there, and he carried it along. I thought that was kind of a good idea. This is the farthest north that we go at the present in the Philippines, in Mindanao. Either way you go from there, we understand that there's a lot of communist rebels and things like that around. And they're not getting much notoriety, but really we are under the impression that they're far more dangerous than the Muslims are. And it is the Chinese communists. It's just a fact. That's who it is. They are trying to take over the Philippines. Filipinos are quite happy that Americans are there because they know they would be overrun by the Chinese communists if we weren't. Well, let's go to the next one, Frank. Well, here's this is the same day. It's a different group. We got all packed up. We walked back through all the water and put our shoes back on, hopped in the bus, the jeepney, and the guy was with the black shirt. And they're young, about 18, 19 years old, somewhere in there. And they had walked 12 miles. Walked 12 miles because they had already been in some of our classes, and they had to go home because they had to get a change of clothes. And they walked back 12 miles, and they were late. So we said, okay, we're going back. So one, three, four, five of them. Now you wonder why Prudencio's in there. Somebody asked that, you know, what's he doing in there, you know? Well, he helps them get in and out, and the other thing that he does is he interprets when they're in the water. And he may ask them, you know, what when each one comes up there, what's your name? And they may understand English and they may not. And so he tells them what their name is. And he never hesitates to jump in the water. And I took the picture, and Frank stayed in the shade back on the land. But that's all right. We got it taken care of. Let's go to the bottom one there, Frank. The young lady sitting down, her name is Alma. And I did write back in the email about Alma, that she was baptized on that with that first group, and the church had cleared out, and we were sitting in the same room here. If you're wondering what's on the floor, it's gravel. The church floor is gravel, and we understand we're going to have to move out of there pretty quick. It's been sold, I think. That's our understanding. We're going to have to get out of there. But anyway, everyone went home, and she was still sitting in the middle of the room next to the tree. There's a tree in the church, and sitting there quietly, not saying anything. Finally, one of the girls went up and asked her, you know, what's wrong? What are you doing here? And so she told them, well, I can't go home. My niece, where I live, told me if I get baptized that she's going to cut all my clothes up and burn them and never to come back. I got no place to go. So Frank got all soft. And anyway, we helped her get a little apartment for a little while, a couple of months, $10 a month. We can handle that, can't we? Okay. Anyway, you see all the kids, they're ready for that photo moment. They're already, you know, they're smiling and grinning. I'm next. You know, but there she is. So you got these two pictures here on this particular slide, and a commitment that they have. They're demonstrating some strength that they have. Be strong in the Lord. We need to be strong. We need to do what we need to do in this world. I'll go ahead and pull up number 5. Oh, yeah. This was a special day for us. As Frank made the arrangements, we had this last baptism to take care of, and we had 3 new elders, so he said, okay, you're going in there with me, and you're going to learn how to do this. And so we got out there in the water, and he pointed each of them. He says, now you've been watching this for a long time. He says, now I want you to watch it 5 more times, and then each of you are going to do it 3 times. And so they did. And it was a momentous day. Got the date in the bottom there, 2002, March 10th. First ordinance is performed by elders ordained in the Philippines. They didn't hesitate one bit. That's another thing. They have a strength. They're ready to go. They are ready to go. All you got to do is tell Prudencio and Demetrio, we'd like you to go to Indonesia. And they'd just say, when? Let's go. Next picture shows Demetrio. He's doing a baptism. Well, these guys are some of our giant slayers. And they're not afraid. It's one thing we notice. They're not afraid to speak out. They're not afraid to speak up. And it would probably remind me of probably the way that we were 100 years ago. You know, we had a lot of fire eaters a long time ago, and sometimes it was hard for us to handle that, but these guys are willing to do it. These are our giant slayers. Well, they got a lot of giants to face, too. They're absolutely convinced that they have 2 major enemies, 3 major enemies in the Philippines. Now, I'm just going to tell you who they are because it's just a fact. The Muslims, the communists, and I hate to say this, but the Catholics. Don't be misunderstood. We can say as we want, these people want to destroy us. And don't misunderstand. You know, we live in a rosy world here in the United States. They would absolutely destroy us if they had the opportunity, any one of them. Don't think they wouldn't. They would. But I think we have some giant slayers in our midst. And God is going to be with us. And my understanding of the scriptures is that I really feel sorry for the entity that falls upon the Church of Christ. Now, my opinion of history of this church is that, you know, we made a lot of mistakes in the beginning. Did some things right here in Independence maybe we shouldn't have done. But God destroyed our enemies in the Civil War. He destroyed them. Ran them out. It'll happen again in this world. God is with us. Of that I'm convinced. So I want to read a scripture from the book of Luke. Chapter 14, beginning with the 25th verse to the 30th verse. And there went great multitudes with him, and he turned and he said unto them, if any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it? lest happily after he hath laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, and all that behold it begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. I pray to my Heavenly Father that it will never be said that we began this work and we were not able to finish. So I implore you again, be strong. Be strong. We need to finish this work. We need to finish and make sure that it goes. We need to, when we go out in the world, it's been a great eye-opener to me, especially starting something like this. You go out and Frank and I both, we find ourselves, and now Charles, being so careful what we say. Not trying to interject our personal ideas, because we know this much, you know. Someday we won't be going there. I won't be going there. Frank will be going there. They've got to stand when we're gone. So we try very careful not to interject our own personal views and pray about it a lot. This is the gospel, and to bring it as simple, the gospel that you have tried to keep pure. That's what we're trying to take there to those people. Well, let's go to the next one. Oh, here you go. There's my favorite picture. That's my favorite group. Those are our secretaries. And they look like that most of the time. Just smiling, happy. They ride around with us and they sit in the very back seat in the van and they sing and sleep and sing, and it's all Christian music. And they play games and have a good time. And the one's got her head stuck out there smiling. Her name is Pruliane, and that's Prudencio and Lolita's oldest daughter. And a very sweet young lady she is, about 15 years old. Maybe we can inspire some of the young men to come over. Anyway, there's Nora Lou in the back, the pretty girl in the back in the yellow. Nora Lou Nacorda. And then there is on the left here in front of us, Omega May. And they are pretty smart. And you see they bought a typewriter, and they got it there, and she types in the baptismal certificates, and they go around, and they get a notebook, and Frank writes down, okay, I want this information from everyone here that's going to be baptized or a baby blessing. And they go out there, and they get their pencils, and they write down the information for us, and they come back, and they put it on the baptismal certificates, and if they didn't do that, we'd still be there. It's very difficult. But they are one of the joys that we have. They are just a delight to be around. And they're the reason what's sitting at that table, why we made fools of ourselves and sang. See, men are like, you know, men everywhere, you know, and their dad and Demetrio and these other guys, the board, they wanted to get together, you know, and talk about business, you know, and get things ironed out before we left because we were going to leave the next day. And Frank and I had enough business for 3 weeks, and we started demanding, we want the show, because these girls had prepared a program. And so Prudencio and Demetrio, well, they told the girls, we can't do it, we got business to take care of. Well, they went back in their room and they were teary-eyed and everything, you know, and just that's typical, you know, it's that happens here too. But we heard about it, and of course they were sad because we were leaving too. They were crying because we were leaving. And so we started demanding, we want to see the kids' show. And that little group right there, they did it all. They had this show for us. And they got up there and they put on a little play and about Samuel and Eli. You've probably seen that, do it here, but it's a common one they do in Christian churches. And had a bunch of the little kids act out all the parts. And they had it all orchestrated and planned, write down what they were going to do. And of course, the first main attraction was me. You know, I'm the one. And she looked at me, you know, and she was trying to keep from, you know, from crying. So I sang a song.
I just couldn't. They had it planned, and I just couldn't say no. Didn't sing it very loud. I didn't sing very long. But they were just delighted. All everyone laughed and had a good time. It's a very wonderful occasion. And kind of lifted all the weight and the burden off us as we left there. And then Frank got up there and he sang one too. And we all applauded. I know we're not supposed to do that, but we did. And Charles got up there. Now, that was really something. The only thing that would have made that better if his son Andy had been with him. You know, they could have had a wonderful duet. But it was something. And I just felt like I had to. Another thing that happened was we were there, and there was one of these ladies that I never got a picture of her because she wouldn't get in a picture. She was just too shy. She was from the mountains. And she made me this bracelet. This is a typical of the kind of stuff they do. She made me this bracelet. She came up, and she was kind of shy, and she was behind Prudencio, and Prudencio said, "This lady has a gift for you." And she wanted to put it on my wrist, you know, and I looked at it, so I let her put it on. Again, it's another one of those times I'd never wear this any time, but because she gave it to me, I was going to wear it. So I wore it that day, and she turned 12 shades of purple and put it on my wrist, and then she hid. And then a day or so, she gave Frank one, and we wore it. Next time, though, when I came back there and I saw her, I just kind of stuck it out of my pocket, you know, like this. So she would see that I had her gift. So I guess you could say they're Goliath slayers too, aren't they? You know, they're not afraid to do things. Well, show the next one down there. This is kind of interesting. I had to take a picture of this. Prue Ann, every day you'd come in there, church meeting, and she'd have a new sign up on the blackboard. And so this is to let all you young people know they're computer literate. That's her address in the bottom down there in the corner. They're computer literate. So she did this email thing, you know, www.welcome.com. Just welcome to church. That's what she's saying. But she did it like a young person would do. And every day she had something new up there. So that's the new generation. Now I'm going to show you the next generation. The older generation. There is some of the older generation. You see, some of them are looking at you and some of them aren't. And generally speaking, the ones that are looking at you are from the city, and the ones that aren't are from the hills. And this woman in the yellow here, maybe you've heard Frank talk about her. She sang a song for us in her native language, Ata. A-T-A, Ata. And I can't tell you it was pretty, but it was something. I mean, it was... it wasn't a horrible experience for me. I guess I wrote in my email, and it was like being transported back in time. I just felt, I just had this urge. Oh, I wish I could go up to their village. I would love to go up there and see those people. Well, they have and they still have their customs that they're quite entrenched in. That's a native costume. The woman in the back in the middle, she's also one of them. The one in the yellow, she's the chief's wife. She's 49 years old. She hasn't got a white tooth in her mouth. They're all black. But she's strong, I can tell you that. That I know. And she's also a singer in her native culture. And so she sang us a song about thanking the Lord for the missionaries and asking God to bless them. Very short. And I was enrapt, to say the least, by the simplicity of it. And show the one on the bottom down there. Here's another one. Young guy, Don, this guy reminds me of One of the guys there at, one of the boys at Mayapan, it kind of reminds me of one of those boys there, just as sweet as can be, honest, and whatever he's thinking, he'll let you know, and he asks you questions, and he wants a dictionary, and he wants to learn English, and you see him walking around, he'll pick up the guitar, and he'll try and play the guitar. He loves church. He just wants to get in the middle of it. You can tell he wants to read, and he wants to study. The gospel. I'm going to read another scripture. It's going to be my last scripture. As I was listening to the song this evening, I think some of the words from this scripture were in that song that our brother Darren was singing. Beautiful. In the 11th chapter of the book of Matthew, verses 4 to 6. I'll start with verse 2. And instead of verse 4, I'll start with verse 2 and go through verse 6. Now when John had heard in the prison the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said unto him, Art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? And Jesus answered and said unto them, Go and show John again those things which ye do hear and see. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, and the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached unto them. And blessed is he, whosoever shall not be offended in me. Well, let it be said, a few years down the row, that the blind receive their sight, and the lame walk, and the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, the dead are raised. I believe we're going to see that. I believe it, I guess, because I think it's possible we're going to run out of money. When we're all done, let it be said, the poor had the gospel preached unto them. Let it not be said that the messengers of life are afraid of the messengers of death. And I tell you, they're out there. We come pretty close to them. Messengers of death, our enemies. And we have enemies in this world. They do want to destroy us. Maybe said we've been true to this young man. That he's like everybody else, every one of you. He's responsible for his own sins, his own actions. We cannot abandon these people. So my prayer is that this church, the United States, will become a strong church. And there are many things we have great strength in. Let us continue to be strong until the end. So that is my message for you. And I pray that I'll show one more picture. Got to bring the human side of this in. Those are our three elders, from the one on the left to the one on the right. Dimitro Ndangan, his name means some kind of a fish. And he is a real kidder. We get along quite well. He's always talking about something is going to happen. You know, we're going to do something good in the church. And he'll say, you know, Bin Laden will not like that. So, and it's become a joke throughout the whole church. So when they see him, hello, Bin Laden, you know, I've started calling the guy in the middle there Omar. Omar and Bin Laden. But Prudencio Almeida, the guy who made some great changes in his life, still needs to make a few more. but made some great changes, ready to go, ready to push anything, to take the gospel anywhere. So we've got to learn how to use that properly. And the guy on the right there in the blue shirt, a little more shy, a little more quiet, runs like a gazelle through the jungle, and you could never keep up with him. He's a mountain man, Roger Manali, and he is one of these guys, just gets it done. I guess I don't want to pull anybody out. You know, if I had to compare him to somebody, well, I'd say, you know, he's the Leslie of Mindanao. Ready to go. Quietly. Well, the bottom one, that is Demetrio's family. And they showed up that day, and you see her hair looks like it's wet. It's because it is wet. She was just baptized. And the little girl in her arms is their granddaughter. And the one on the right, the girl, is their youngest daughter. And this is a very common occurrence. She's about 48, 49 years old. He's 63. Very common. Every other couple in the Philippines, that's the age spread. The young man on the right there is from the town where they come from, and he's the young people's leader up there. And so there's one of the core groups. It took us a long time to convince his wife. She read The Marvelous Work and a Wonder. She read Don's book. That's all, wasn't it? Just those two books. Read through the Book of Mormon. She was a hard sell. But I'm glad. I'm glad. Well, anyway, I'm going to turn this meeting over to Brother Frank to answer any questions that you might have.